All right, enough pissing about. Welcome to Slightly Something Else. This is the Holiday Buyer's Guide, which was the broad topic we came up with to cover a couple of things.
Absolutely.
Remember that we are going to read your super chats out from the halfway point, which will be probably be more like the one-third point, considering the time we lost. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, I'm suddenly distracted by Jack's mug. Yes, this is just one of the wonderful holiday gifts we will suggest that you buy in the course of today's podcast.
Absolutely.
But yeah, get your super chats in. It really helps support the site. And we'll read, if you want us to answer something specific or say something specific, we'll get on those from the halfway point, from around 11.
Absolutely.
So where to begin, Jack?
There's so many places to begin. I have brought with me in my office here so many things as far as like gifts are concerned. I have a ton of board game ideas. I have a ton of regular game ideas. I have a ton of just technology ideas. But I would like to start off boring, if I could.
Well, that suits you very well, Jack.
I am a basic boring dude. And I'm very okay with that. Here's like, to me, one of the greatest gifts I have ever gotten, and something that I continually gift to other people, is a really nice set of rechargeable batteries. And I know what you're thinking, like, wait a minute, this is for like gamers. And yes, batteries go in effing everything.
No, it's true. I have a battery recharger in my office, mm-hmm. to circulate my double A's through my controllers and my wireless keyboard and mouse.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very handy thing to have. The whole household seethes with envy for my rechargeable batteries. In fact, every time the baby's in here, she immediately goes straight for them because she likes the little glowing light.
And it's... That is to me, like, that is a gift that is a little on the boring side, but any person who is a PC enthusiast, a gamer in your life who doesn't already have a really nice set of rechargeable batteries will get so much use out of that. It's practical. It's fun. That's where I'm starting.
All right, then. Well, you know, one thing you put batteries in, the controllers for the Oculus 2. For example,
you mean the thing that is going to help bring VR into the mainstream? Yes.
Well, it's probably not going to do that, but yes. Which I've already done a review on, which is worth looking at. My latest zero punctuation on the Oculus Quest 2 and Resident Evil 4. Because, yes, it means, you know, sucking up to big tech and... basically being complicit in the ongoing acceleration towards total societal collapse. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But on the other hand, it's really cool to look at a thing with your face, with your actual face.
Ooh, yeah.
And it's still astonishingly affordable.
Yes.
Oculus Quest 2, like $300.
Ridiculously affordable, wireless... and a not a bad VR headset.
$300 for the 128 gig hard drive.
Yeah,
but you don't really need that much because VR games, all the VR games I downloaded on it have been like 8 gig.
Mm-hmm.
You can install as many as you like. I guess the graphics aren't quite cutting edge. But who the fuck cares?
No one has ever, like, in the history of consumerism, no one has ever chosen quality over quantity.
Oh, that sounded sarcastic.
It was a statement of fact, but sure, a little sarcastic. You know, the reason VHS beat Beta is because they were cheaper and easier to produce.
There you go. That's the secret.
The reason that people overwhelmingly stay home and watch Netflix instead of going to movie theaters is more options. They're not always better options, but there's more options.
Hmm.
Quantity over quality. America has chosen.
Yeah. So the handheld controllers both take a battery, but the headset is plug-in to charge.
Hmm.
Don't forget that it's plugged in when you try to put it on, because it's easy to get excited about its wireless quality and immediately start flinging yourself around the room, and then your power sockets are going to have a very bad time.
Well, and, you know, to me, that leads into my slightly boring other next option, which was, and these are, I started my list as far as, like, things that I thought people could buy in a physical store. Because obviously we are, what, we're, you know, 10 days away from Christmas time. Merry Christmas, everyone who celebrates. A hearty and, you know, slightly late L'chaim to anyone who celebrates Hanukkah.
Well, what the fuck, serious gamers, buys things from physical stores these days?
Well, what I'm saying is if you need to buy something now, get it from a physical store because it might not ship in time.
What I always think is a nice, thoughtful gift is a nicer Steam code or Steam key. And there's so many creative ways you can deliver that to someone. Ooh. You could put a deceptively large box full of stones, and then they open it and think you're pulling some kind of shit. Mm-hmm. Then they dig through the stones, and there's a little Steam key on a piece of paper, which is just as good as a full box game. Well, one thing I quite like to do is compose a sort of custom crossword for the gift recipient.
Ooh.
And highlight some of the boxes in the crossword and say, put these boxes in order and you will get your Steam key. So they have to solve the crossword to get the Steam key.
Yes, I love it.
Then I'm the sort of person who likes composing crosswords, and we're a rare breed these days.
Absolutely. One moment.
Oh, shit. I'm on my own again.
Oh, no, I'm here.
Okay. Well, in which case, the kind of games I'd recommend creating Steam key crosswords for would possibly be games like Psychonauts 2.
Mm.
That's a good game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of, because I was like putting together like the short list for my top fives video.
Sure.
And by Christ, that was difficult this year.
Yeah.
Weren't so many games that really made me go, yes, I like this. I'm having a good time. Well, I guess the one game that took me by surprise by how much I enjoyed it was The Artful Escape.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel weird about recommending that as a game because it doesn't have one.
Oh, I get it.
Although another game I was surprised by how much I enjoyed it was, of course, It Takes Two, which surprised everyone this week by taking home the Game of the Year award from the at the Game Awards,
mm-hmm.
which isn't the most originally named awards ceremony, but it does exactly what it says on the tin.
Absolutely. But you know what? I want to circle back a little bit to this idea of like presenting a seemingly boring gift in a unique way, because that was similarly on my list, you know, like Steam gift cards, Steam codes, GameStop gift cards, any sort of thing where it's a piece of paper instead of a present, right?
Mm.
Is there are a lot of ways to give that as a gift, people like that as a gift, but still make it very fun. You know, the classic Russian nesting doll of box, you know, gift within a box, within a box, within a box. Let them spend some time to open all of these boxes, only to find a little gift card. That's fun, right?
Sure.
Well, the act of opening a present, a big present, is part of the gift-giving experience. And so a lot of times gift cards are like just come in an envelope, or you put them in a bag so you don't have to spend the time to wrap them.
And you put it in a regular card and write some heartfelt thoughts on the inside.
See what you were talking about here, talking about spending some time and making it personal. And I like that. We are big fans here of scavenger hunts.
You could do that with a Steam key, certainly.
You could definitely do that. You know, one clue leads you to next clue, leads you to next clue, leads you to next clue. That's always fun. That and if you have children, really draws it out, which is important.
Yeah, keeps them out of your hair for Christmas afternoon.
That's very, very important. But, you know, I think stuff like that, stuff like cash, like, is very valid gifts, but finding an amusing way to present that still then shows that you're putting effort into the gift, even though, like, the gift card is seemingly low tier on the gift list.
Steam keys tend to be my go-to option for gifts, because, you know, I agree with that one episode of Star Trek The Next Generation that said that a gift should in some way reflect the giver, as well as be something the recipient would like.
Okay.
I find people rely on me for good game recommendations.
Sure.
So, you know, my friends and relatives can expect those from me. I will descend from my ivory tower and tell all those plebs who aren't like on the inside like us, which games are worth their time. So, yes, as I was saying, it takes two. Probably a good couple's gift.
Ooh.
Because
like
it's the two and strictly only two player. Or something to get for a loved one or spouse. Although they might not appreciate the implication. Say, hey, let's play this game about a couple who are going to get divorced and eventually grow back together from their experiences.
Are you trying to tell me something?
I just thought we might enjoy this game about a couple getting divorced. And maybe our kids would enjoy it as well.
I just feel like...
And probably won't have any awkward questions at all.
This is you're giving me a hidden message here. I just feel like this is for me here.
What would be your game recommendations from this year, Jack?
From this year, probably near the top of my list would be Metroid Dread. I had a lot of fun with Metroid Dread.
Although it scored very poorly on the annual Game Maker's Toolkit analysis of accessibility in games.
Sure.
But that's Nintendo for you.
Right.
Nintendo know their button mappings best, and you're going to walk the fucking line.
I that was definitely a surprise for me. I did want to remap a few of the buttons, and my inability to do that was frustrating for me, and I don't have any accessibility issues. I can only imagine for someone who does have that, it would be an absolute deal breaker. That being said, it's still a very good game.
People saying your mic's a bit quiet.
My mic's a bit quiet, by the way. I was, you know what, I turned it down because I saw in the chat that there were some hissing noises, and so I turned it down a bit, but now I've turned it up a bit and moved it closer to my mouth.
Well, Metroid Dread certainly has a sort of Christmassy color scheme to it.
It does, and after you get the ice beam, it's snowing constantly.
There you go. Though I find Switch games slightly uncomfortable on my large masculine hands, and I just can't seem to find a decent permanent solution to that. I've used pro controllers and they all got stick drift. So now I have to use like the original controllers again, or just use the whole thing as a handheld. And I have to sort of prop my elbows up.
Agreed. Though, like, I guess I've never had problems. I've had a pro controller since I got my Switch, and I've never had a problem with it. So, I'm sorry.
Well, there you go.
I'm sorry.
Speaking of the Switch, last game I was playing on that was Shin Megami Tensei 5.
Oh, okay.
Which I'd also recommend to someone who likes other games in the Shin Megami Tensei series. Don't give it to people who've only ever played Persona games, because they'll probably be disappointed by the lack of nice girlies to kissy-poo with.
Oh.
See, Shin Megami Tensei is like... well, it was the mainline RPG series that Persona spun off from.
Oh,
so the
okay.
original Shin Megami Tenseis are all sort of like kind of hardcore RPGs.
Oh,
you have to take the combat very seriously and figure out the best strategies. You can't just coast through like mashing the debuff button like you can in Persona.
Okay. Does it have the same kind of intricate storyline or?
Well, not really. I always thought like the story in the Persona games is better. In Shin Megami Tensei, I find like all the focus is on the combat and on building up and like building the most optimal. I almost said personas there, but they don't call them personas. They're called demons in Shin Megami Tensei.
Oh, you're about to get a bunch of angry emails.
Yeah. Well, some reviewer apparently complained that who'd apparently only ever played Persona games, complained that Shin Megami Tensei just played like Persona without the, you know, the emotional heart. And apparently a lot of people got up that guy's ass. Because, you know, Persona's the spin-off.
And I'm sure they were very nice about it, pointing that out.
Oh, yes, they were as nice as anyone who takes their gameplay seriously are nice about these things.
Great.
So, yeah, that's the last thing I played on the Switch. What else was good this year? Psychonauts 2, as I said, that's a good thing to get a Steam key of.
Sure.
Probably the only thing anyone could reasonably be excited about, unless you're the sort of person who likes Halo. Ooh, bloody Halo.
Nobody with taste, so I'm okay with it.
Well, fortunately, a lot of people probably have relatives who have no taste.
Hey.
So maybe you could just get them Halo.
Just get Halo stuff.
Halo that they could play in between watching sports on the television.
Obviously, we are playing up our dislike of Halo, as our editor-in-chief, Nick, is in the chat listening, who is a big Halo fan.
Yes, we do like to tease Nick, who often likes to play up his love of Halo.
Yes.
Yes, it's like a little joke now. Someone mentions Halo and that Nick likes Halo, and we go, Nick likes Halo? Funny, he's never mentioned.
I know it didn't come out this year, but a game I have been playing this year that I've been rather enjoying is Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity.
Oh, the new one.
The newer of the Hyrule Warriors. It's gorgeous.
I played the original Hyrule Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of fun, if you like that kind of thing.
And
weirdly horny for a Zelda game.
Right. Very, very horny. I got a few side eyes from my wife from a few particular characters whose dresses were ridiculously attached to their very large breasts.
So is the new one horny as well?
No, the new one is not horny. They went purely with the Breath of the Wild art style. Very chaste.
Well, that's horny in its own way. Princess Zelda wears some very tight riding trousers in that game. The original Hyrule Warriors was horny because it was developed by, I think I'm right in saying it was developed by the same guys who developed Dead or Alive Extreme.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I think that's right.
It's very, very possible. But well, so I guess this is less horny than that. Because like even Zelda in the original Hyrule Warriors had a ridiculously large bust, which is very uncanon for Zelda. And so they've toned down all the busts. They've, you know, cranked them back to like a 7. Which is significantly less horny.
Koei Tecmo, was that it? Yes, it was Koei Tecmo.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, sure. Well, and you know, it's...
I always get paranoid when I declare something authoritatively, so I immediately had to look that up.
Oh,
yes.
Great.
Koei Tecmo developed Hyrule Warriors and the Dead or Alive series.
And you know what? I think both are very fun. Both, like, they're very different as far as the hack and slash gameplay is concerned. The original Hyrule Warriors, very standard, you know, Dynasty Warriors fare. It's incredibly, it's just a reskin of Dynasty Warriors, which I'm a big fan of, so I was okay with that. The Age of Calamity leans really hard into all of those Breath of the Wild slate technologies, the bombs, the freezing mechanics, the freeze and time mechanics, that sort of thing. And it actually feels very different, but very, very cool. Very satisfying action game.
Mm.
If you are into the Breath of the Wild series.
Well, if you're into Dynasty Warriors, but not so much Zelda, then another game I enjoyed from this year was, of course, Persona 5 Strikers. Just to bring things back to me banging on about Persona again. Which is all the fun characters of Persona 5, but with a Dynasty Warrior style, combat style, if you really, really turn your nose up at turn-based combat. And many people do.
Just doesn't have
that primary gameplay loop that Dynasty Warriors has.
What, Strikers or Persona 5 in general?
Turn-based combat.
Turn-based
combat does not have a strong primary loop, that a Dynasty Warriors combat does.
Yes, yes. I've now officially added that to my list, as I'm a big Dynasty Warriors fan. I think that kind of like dumb, repetitive combat is so really great.
If you like the energy of Persona 5, if you have a friend who likes the energy of Persona 5, get them that instead of Shin Megami Tensei 5. Because there's not as much energy in that at all.
Okay. Well, good to know.
Unless you count the energy from smacking yourself in the forehead from dying in combat again.
Energy is energy. That's all I got to say.
Okay, what else came out this year?
Not a whole lot.
Well, if you're more into the Dark Souls style of combat, there's usually always a healthy crop of that sort of thing.
Sure.
In fact, one of the PS5 big releases was, of course, the Demon Souls remake. And that definitely feels like an event.
Was that this year? The Demon Souls remake.
Well, technically not, but I reviewed it this year, so fuck it. Also, you know, PS5 is probably slightly easier to get now.
Fair enough. They're releasing new shells for the PS5 before they're releasing more PS5s. So I don't know if you've read about that. You can now get PS5s in different colors and buy different shells for your PS5.
Well, if you waited long enough that the fucking scalpers have lowered their prices, maybe now is the time to get one.
Right.
I mean, it's the only way you can play Demon's Souls and Returnal, and that's about it, really.
That's about it.
Okay, so maybe it isn't worth getting a PS5 yet.
Not
hush
really.
Hush my mouth. Buy an Oculus Quest 2 instead. Is that something you can get excited about?
There's probably more games that I want to play on a Quest than I do on the PlayStation 5, or that are exclusive to either.
Oh, forgive me. There's Ratchet and Clank as well.
Oh.
Isn't that out on PS4 as well, though? Got a PS4 not really worth trading up yet.
Probably not.
No. I mean, what else was there? Pretty much everything else was on PS4 and PS5.
I believe Rift Apart is an exclusive PlayStation 5 game.
Well, that's hardly worth getting the PS5 for either. So
that's all. I'm just keeping everyone up to date here.
Okay.
As far as exclusivity and PlayStation, so there's three.
Yep.
Exclusive.
Yep, that's the fucking future of gaming, is it, Sony? A remake of an 11-year-old game, another installment in the series that started on the PS2 and hasn't really evolved since, and Returnal.
Which I hear very good things about.
It's not worth fucking paying a scalper $1,000.
Right, exactly.
If you like time loops, just play literally any other game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Deathloop, for example.
Ooh.
Another Deathloop, there you go. The time loop game that you don't have to buy a whole new fucking console for.
There you go. You would put that on a gift list that you think that Deathloop is worthy to gift to someone?
Well, if I had to pick one of the time loop games to recommend the most highly, I'd probably go with The Forgotten City, if I'm honest.
Oh, okay.
But then I'm the kind of person who appreciates good writing in games.
Sure.
If you're more into gameplay, Deathloop's all right. I mean, it's a bit... Well, it depends on what kind of gameplay you like, I suppose. If you're more like innovative conceptual gameplay, but aren't so big on, high challenge, then I'd go for Deathloop. But if you'd be disappointed by a game being too easy, then play Returnal, because you certainly won't have that problem with that game.
All right.
So gauge your gift recipients carefully. If you think they'd be more appreciate a concept for its innovation, or if they'd appreciate getting the shit kicked out of them for 7 hours, Deathloop or Returnal.
Just take a peek in their closet, see how many, leather straps they have, and adjust accordingly.
I guess Deathloop's a jollier experience all around. Returnal is kind of depressing.
Sure, sure, sure.
But, some people like that. Buy it for your goth sister who's still in high school. And going through a black nail polish phase.
Yes. Yes. That and the Further Down the Spiral album. It'll be a dark, dark summer.
Yes, thank you for bringing it up, Chad. The less said about 12 minutes, the better.
We weren't going to mention it, chat.
No, no.
Because we're done. We're done with that.
You know what? I haven't even looked at what won the Game Awards. I only know what won Game of the Year. It Takes Two, which surprised me, because usually the pattern is they give it to whatever got the most nominations.
Sure.
And that was Deathloop. So It Takes Two was a bit of an upset, I suppose.
As far as previous games are concerned. But It Takes Two is still is It Takes Two a bigger developer, is my question.
Well, it's EA.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
But it's an EA original, which is EA's indie side venture.
Oh, okay.
So it's published by EA, but it's developed by Hazelight, the guys who made Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons and A Way Out.
Okay.
And basically every game that's about two guys. I don't know why, they're just obsessed with games about two people. Not necessarily two-player games, because Brothers wasn't.
Sure.
Just games about two people.
Sure.
All right, I'm just checking it out now. Oh, what do you know? Deathloop won Best Game Direction and Best Art Direction.
There we go.
Apparently that was it, though.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah, Game Awards are very fucking arbitrary. I mean, what the fuck's the difference between an action game and an action adventure game? I don't know, but they are different nominees and different winners, so.
So, yeah, Deathloop, or what am I? I'm looking at 2021 winners. Deathloop won.
It won Best Game Direction, but Game of the Year was It Takes Two.
Oh, okay. Guardians of the Galaxy won Best Narrative. I know you rather enjoyed that. Oh, no.
Fuck you, Game Awards. You only gave it Best Narrative because it was like the only AAA game that was like in the, like, you know, the narrative format for AAA games. As that is to say, Ghost Train Ride.
Sure. Gotcha.
Best narrative.
Well, I don't.
Should have given it to Forgotten City, I'd say.
Mm. Maggie Robertson won. For Resident Evil Village, won Best Performance. I assume that's Giant Lady.
Yeah, that was Giant Lady. Although it wasn't really the voice acting that made that character mean, was it? I think it was more about the giant titty.
So she won Giant Titty Awards. Great.
Yeah.
What have we got here? Life is Strange won for Games for Impact. Life is Strange True Colors.
Well, I guess they had to award it something.
Let's see here. Kena, Bridge of Spirits, won for Best Indie Game.
Yep. Tales of Arise won Best Role-Playing Game. That surprises me, actually.
Okay.
Because that's like a JRPG, fairly bog-standard JRPG, really.
Hmm.
And the nominations for that were all over the place. There was like JRPG, 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 and Cyberpunk. And I guess they couldn't give it to Cyberpunk because Cyberpunk... like pissed on everyone's chips.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, Metroid Dread won Best Action Adventure Game.
Yeah, and yeah. Returnal won Best Action Game. So, what the fuck does any of this mean anymore?
Literally nothing. Nothing.
You know, you want to talk about an award whose name means absolutely nothing?
I'm ready.
Best Sim / Strategy Game. The nominees were, and God help you if you can find a connection between these.
I'm ready.
Age of Empires 4, mm-hmm. Evil Genius 2, Inscription, Humankind, and Microsoft Flight Simulator.
I love it. Did Microsoft Flight Simulator win? I hope it did.
No, Microsoft Flight Simulator did not win. Age of Empires 4 won.
Oh, I've heard such great things about Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Looks like the only thing the Forgotten City was nominated for was Best Debut Indie Game.
Oh, okay.
And it didn't win because it was forgotten. Kena Bridge of Spirits won that one. The game I almost immediately forgot everything about.
Oh. Well, then there you go.
Although I suppose of all the indie games on the list there, it was the one that obviously most aspired to be a AAA game. So that's fully on message.
Yes.
With the Game Awards, I suppose.
100%.
Oh, and Elden Ring won Most Anticipated Game, but blind hedgehog could have predicted that.
Why were other games even nominated? That's the exactly. real question. But yeah, and so like any of those, as far as like kind of wrenching us back to the theme of this, like lists like that to use as buying guides can be a little hit or miss, because like most likely anything that makes a list like that, a gamer in your life has already either formed an opinion on or played, right?
Yeah, that's why they needed us. They need us to suggest things people will actually like and not just the stuff that made money for the fuckers in the room.
Exactly.
All the big money cunts.
Oh, the big money cunts.
Oh, shit. We're a bit behind. We should probably go to Super Chats.
Oh, sure. Actually, you know what? Before we get to Super Chats, there's one thing I wanted to mention. Oh, yeah, here it is. There's one thing I wanted to mention as far as, like, you know, getting us back to gift giving, something that you can pick up at a local store or it can be shipped to you reasonably fast. If you are a fan of board games, party games, something I've been playing a lot recently is Monikers.
Board games?
Board games.
What is this? The 15th century.
I like board games, Yahtzee. It's called Monikers. It's very similar to one of my all-time favorite party games called Celebrity, which is a game where you just, you know, write down people's names and put them in a bowl. This is like a carded version of that. If you enjoy party games, this is crazy fun, and it's a really good time. I have like this and two expansion packs.
Well, since we're drifting into non-video game shilling,
yeah.
What about the book-loving gift recipients in your life?
Yahtzee, there are so many great books, but you know, for me, it's like I listen to a lot of audiobooks.
Well, I've got good news for you.
Oh yeah,
because there's a brand new Audible original book by an up and coming young author.
What?
And a sequel to one of his earlier books. It's called Existentially Challenged, and it's the sequel to Differently Morphous by what's his name? Yahtzee Croshaw. Who I happen to think has really come into his own as an author lately. And there's no physical edition of that you can wrap up, but maybe you could have fun with the whole making a crossword out of the download key.
Absolutely. And if you know anyone who is a fan of Yahtzee's video game review videos, getting a bundle pack of
Sorry, I didn't know he did video game reviews.
He did what video. They're called Zero Punctuation as he...
Sorry,
know,
what?
Zero Punctuation as he talks very fast. You see, it's a little play on words.
Oh, what a characteristically clever play on words that title is.
It's
I'd better
so
check
genius.
It out right away.
Absolutely. So you can buy both audiobooks as a gift. And so, and here's the other great thing. Little known fact about this video game reviewer. He has a lovely speaking voice.
I've heard that.
And he reads his own audiobooks.
Really? Well, he must be very talented then. For only the best authors can pull that off. You know, people have often told me that my voice reminds them of Yahtzee Croshaw. Like, genuinely, this happened at a party. He said, you know what you sound like? You sound like that guy on the internet who does those reviews. And I said, you know what, something? I get that a lot. It was a lot of fun.
Great. Well, so, yes, I think that is also, like, a lovely recommendation. And then, yeah, make a little scavenger hunt. Make a scavenger hunt, and it ends with a little Audible gift code. That would be really fun.
Sure would.
Great.
All right, let's get through these super chats.
Okay,
there's a lot.
I'm ready, Yats.
We very much appreciate all these super chats. They help us make the material we love to make and you love to watch.
Makes me make this face. This is my happy face.
That's it. Seems like a certain kind of happiness, at least. Is that a Nicolas Cage ahigao?
Ahigao.
Ahigao.
What's ahigao?
Just say yes. It's a Nicolas Cage ahigao.
Okay. Yes.
Nobody tell him. Right. Riley Kemp gives $10 to say, hello, Yahtzee and Jack. Merry early Christmas. Yahtzee, congrats on the new book. Thought it was even better than the last one. Not to sound ungrateful, but do we have an ETA on the next book?
Oh my God.
They're never satisfied, are they?
Yahtzee, your new book just released and they're already asking for that.
Clearly already listened through it and already looking for the new distraction. That's modern culture for you.
Come on, everybody.
Well, I haven't even started it yet, but the next book's probably going to be the final installment in the We'll Save the Galaxy for Food trilogy.
Ooh, fun.
So that'll wrap everything up, hopefully.
Great.
Once I figure out how it wraps up. Andrew Hickenbottom gives £5 to say, thanks for that, Henry VIII, Yart. You're welcome, Andrew Hickenbottom. David Foster gives £4.49 Great British Pounds to say, well done for staying so calm, Jack.
Oh, with all my technical difficulties?
Yes, yes. Luckily, we got over that.
We got over that, and you know what? It's part of the job. We roll with it when it happens. Thanks. Hey, thank you all for sticking around through 8 minutes of technical difficulties.
James Matchett gives $5 to say, happy holidays. Lovely singing, Yahtzee. 10 out of 10. Jack, you need to sing for us next. What's your favorite holiday tradition in your families? Giving me lots of presents. I like opening presents.
I mean, right?
My family holiday traditions are really my wife's family holiday traditions. I'm not really in contact with my own family anymore. But the in-laws always make me feel welcome. I even have my very own stocking.
You did it.
Yes, with my name on, that they fill with sweets.
Oh, that's and lovely. That's
always pleasant.
Yeah, I don't have any kind of older familial holiday traditions, as I come from a bit of a broken family, and so we never really we traveled a lot for Christmas usually, but I'm gonna forget what it's called. What's the stocking holiday called?
Christmas?
No, the one, the Saint Nick's, Saint Nicholas's, Saint Nick's Day, which is like December 6th or 4th or something. That's the day in which, you know, the kids find their stockings. But that's the day we also have our giant scavenger hunt, which the wife and I take great pride in making very difficult hints that lead to very difficult hints and, you know, send them running all throughout the house very early in the morning. And then every year we have to watch National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. We usually watch a lot of Christmas movies, but that one has to happen for sure.
It's weird. Curious Christmas tradition back in England was watching The Great Escape around Christmas time.
Oh, okay.
Because they'd always show it on TV around that time.
Sure.
It's a good film. It's not very Christmassy, but it's a good film.
I mean, right? Right. Yeah. Mm.
Donald Pleasance plays a blind forger. It's all good. King Dead 42 gives $2 to say Yahtzee's muted singing is the year's slightly something else highlight. Well, why don't you go recommend it in the Discord highlights channel that The Escapist has for recommending highlights to be put in The Escapist highlights videos?
Boom. There you go.
Doron Grossman Naples, I almost read that as Gross Nipples, gives $5 to say, any thoughts on Deltarune? I know you love Undertale, or are you waiting until all 7 chapters are released? Yeah, the latter. I haven't touched Deltarune at all. I'm waiting for it all to come out. It's probably going to be quite a while yet. Because, you know, I've made the mistake of reviewing games based on their first episodes in the past, and it always feels kind of anticlimactic. Mm-hmm. So I'm willing to wait.
Fair.
I've been replaying Undertale lately. I'm probably going to write an extra punctuation about it.
Okay.
Name that I can't pronounce.
Perfect.
Looks Eastern European, possibly Polish. Gives $5 to say, oh, I might as well give it a go. Jidrzej Wyczkowski gives $5.
10 out of 10.
To say, Yahtzee, would you consider Doom Eternal a ghost train ride with no thrill of a pretty thought out gift shop? Also, good luck with my name. Where's a lich?
Nice.
Oh, okay. No, I would not consider Doom Eternal a ghost train ride because it's got a fairly central core mechanic that's good.
Right, yeah, it takes great pride in all of its tiny, like, replenishing mechanics that make it very much not a ghost train ride, yeah.
What I always like characterizes the ghost train ride is that there's really no stakes from one encounter to the next. You always get fully healed up in between. Mm-hmm. And I seem to remember Doom Eternal, you have to, like, pick up healing items to get your health back after a big fight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I always liked about playing Half-Life, you know? You'd be like, have a combat encounter that would leave you on like 20 health, and then you go, okay, I have to be extra careful in the next combat encounter.
Yeah.
Things are, my actions have had consequences, and I'm creating a unique gameplay experience for myself that I wouldn't get in those fucking Ghost Train rides.
100%. I'm with you.
There you go. Zach Owen gives $5 to say, Yahtzee, are people in your collective works who share the same surname related familiarly, thematically, or do you just not know many names? Jack, hi. I don't know. Sometimes I just like latching onto names. But I guess thematically they're linked because there's a character in Differently Morphous called Mike Badger, who's like a no-nonsense Yorkshireman.
Mm-hmm.
And I happen to like Badger as a surname for a no-nonsense Yorkshireman. And I have a previous work called Poacher that was like a Metroidvania platformer about a no-nonsense Yorkshireman whose name is Derek Badger. So, yeah. Maybe they're related. If you want to think that for your headcanon, you're quite welcome to.
That's a great name. Badger is a great last name.
Yeah. Badger. That's Badger, said in a Yorkshire accent.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that as like a hard-nosed, like cowboy sheriff, like Mortimer Badger. Yeah, that's good.
Mortimer?
I needed something quickly with a lot of syllables. Mortimer was the first, you know.
Jack. Jack Badger.
Ooh, that works too.
In Die Hard 12.
Yes! I made it. I made it into Die Hard 12.
That guy, you know, gives $5 to say, greetings cards are kind of useless, usually thrown out within the span of a year if you haven't written a magnum opus of a message inside. Yeah, you always feel weird about throwing them out, though, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
I got a big pile of old greetings cards on the table that were taken down after Christmas, and they're like, well, throwing them away just feels ungrateful now. Obviously, we should let these molder in the attic for the next 20 years.
Well, but also, like, either put some heart into it, or you could make it part of the gag. One year, a friend of ours had a 30th birthday party. And, you know, they kind of had just moved into a new place, like got a new job. And so it's like, oh, we know that, you know, for their 30th birthday, all they really want, all they really need is cash. Like they just need money. And so instead of, you know, just handing them one card with cash in it, we gave them we went to the dollar store, bought 30 cards and put different amounts of cash in all of them. So they had to open 30 different cards and that became part of the gag.
Well, that sounds thrilling.
It was fun. It was really fun because they had to open every single one of them. And you know, the comedy rose and dove as they opened more and more and realized what was happening. But it was a fun way to do it, and then they didn't feel bad throwing out all the 30 cards.
Scavenger gives $2 to say, gift idea, bungees for Oculus players who stand up. Isn't that part of like the full immersion kit? Like I've seen people use those full immersion VR kits where there's an omnidirectional treadmill and like a belt and hand controllers and the headset, and they've always got this sort of like bungee cord coming off their back so they can jump really high.
I don't in the like game. That. I don't like that. That's too much.
It's a bit much. No. Yeah. Much prefer the Oculus Quest 2. Just stick one thing on and away you go. It's just probably a big selling point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Kudlak 13 gives $5 to say there is a gift, a Nintendo controller for the larger-handed gamer. I'd very much appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Also, chocolate with alcohol inside. Good stuff. Ooh, I don't really like those liquor chocolates, do you? Because you bite into them, and then they spill all down your front.
Yeah, any chocolate with liquid in it is not a good combination.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
I like soft centers. Those are nice. Sure. But actual liquid, just, you know, it's a mess.
Even, you know what? Even with the soft center, depending on the soft center, like I've never been a fan of, what are they called? Cadbury eggs, like Cadbury cream eggs.
Oh, you Philistine. Ugh. I love Cadbury's cream eggs.
Oh, it's just too much. It's like the sugar's too much. And then, yeah, it's goopy when you open it up.
Have you tried the Cadbury's caramel eggs, which are exactly the same as Cadbury's cream eggs, but with caramel instead of the filling of a Cadbury's cream egg?
I would probably enjoy that significantly more.
I don't know if they've even been sold in this country, but they also do like Cadbury's Dream eggs, which are white chocolate, which have a sort of white chocolate fondant-y stuff in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. That could be nice.
Those are also good. I'm a big fan of white chocolate. I know some people aren't, but I like it.
Fair. Fair.
David Foster gives 4.49 British pounds to say, Pray for the Gods just came out. They copied, was influenced by Shadow of the Colossus and Breath of the Wild, the dev's own words. Okay.
Yes.
I haven't played it.
I've played a bit of it. When I played it, it was, you know, not fully released yet and in kind of a jank state. My first impression was not super thrilled. It might be good now. I don't know.
I thought you were like being cute with that title, but I looked it up on Steam. It's literally Praey for the Gods.
If I remember correctly, it was originally, you know, regular Pray for the Gods, and who made the game Pray?
Well, there are two Prays. One was made by Arcane, and the other, I believe, was made by Human Head.
And I believe one of those studios like put some pressure on Pray to the Gods or whatever it's called to change their name.
Oh, for fuck's sake. This is that the Candy Crush Saga bollocks again.
Yes. Yes. That's what I remember, at least.
You can't copyright the word saga, you twat. You know what? I remember like hearing about this game, but I never got around to playing it. So you know what? I'm going to play that game this week, Pray for the Gods. Because I got bugger all else to play. Already played through Halo, and that's going to be my last review of the year, so I've got some time off. I'm just going to play what I want to play.
There
Fuck
you, go.
You, Nick.
Yeah.
I didn't mean that, Nick. You're a lovely man.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we? Scavenger gives $5 to say, my usual gifts for new friends, the DOA movie, best video game movie ever, IMHO. You must be very popular with your friends, Scavenger. Golf with your friends and Monster Prom. I don't keep friends long.
There we go. There we go.
I don't know what Monster Prom is. Isn't Monster Prom one of them spoof dating sims?
Probably. That's exactly what it sounds like. Googling.
That guy, you know, gives $2 to say, I've lost about 10 hours in SMTV due to deaths. See, I was calling it SMTV while I was writing about it. Shin Megami Tensei 5, I mean.
Thank you.
And it always threw me off because SMTV was the name of like a kid's Saturday morning TV show when I was growing up.
Oh, okay.
So it kept making me think of that. Hosted by Ant and Deck for fans of retro British television.
For the four of you out there, they just got that reference and really enjoyed it.
Rendworth gives $5 to say, I love the 3D view VR has, but could there ever be a market for headsets with traditional console controllers for games beyond vehicle sims? Sure. I mean, you're kind of missing out if you're not playing a shooter with hand controllers, if you ask me. As long as it's mostly just, you know, one-handed guns. Two-handed guns just look kind of dumb.
What's the purpose? It's like, if you're playing a regular game with a VR headset, why go through the extra effort of strapping something to your face?
Well, quite.
That, you know. So, yeah.
Might be fun, like, having one of them Steel Battalion games in VR with, like, a huge control bank in front of you.
Yes.
I'd probably enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
Scavenger, again, gives $5 to say, I said during Game Awards, at least the Oscars have segments for creators who died. TGA are a hollow hype machine that makes Game Informer jealous. Well, that was something I meant to look up, actually, because whenever they have the Game Awards, they have like the sort of Lifetime Achievement Award, and it's usually just whatever old-timey video game developer scrotum they could persuade to show up.
Yeah.
And who was it? Who was it this time?
I don't know.
Some global gaming citizens, is that what they're calling it now? Some people I've never heard of. Oh well. Because one year it was Ken and Roberta Williams. I mean, who the fuck have thought about Ken and Roberta Williams in the last 20 years?
Who are Ken and Roberta Williams?
They were the people who founded Sierra, who made all the Sierra adventure games.
Oh, well, you know, that was a huge influence on the gaming industry for many years. I could see that.
I guess. They're defunct as a publisher since Half-Life.
Sure. Lara Lynn McWilliams won the Lifetime Achievement Award this year. And I know what you're thinking is, who's Lara Lynn McWilliams? She's an American game designer.
I was actually thinking that.
And let me scan her Wikipedia real quick. Creative director of Free Realms.
Which made...
What did she make? Her Wikipedia doesn't tell me what she made.
She agreed to show up. That was why she got the Lifetime Achievement.
She was listed as one of the top women in MMOs. So whatever game she made, it was an MMO.
Okay. Oh, Free Realms was the game? Says Ison in the chat.
This is a sad Wikipedia, by the way. This is a sad Wikipedia page that gives me literally no information on what she has done.
Why doesn't anyone give me a Lifetime Achievement Award? 15 years of making zero punctuation, man and boy. I haven't faded into obscurity like some viral hits.
You know, you're not old enough yet. You got to get older.
Okay, fine. Give it another 10 years.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Where are we?
I have no idea. Yeah. I'm just looking for the games that she made.
Wait till I'm benefiting from the 20-year nostalgia rule.
Yeah, exactly. Then you're going to get all sorts of awards.
Okay. Storm Templar gives $2 to say, just want Jack to give Biscuit some pets. How is Biscuit?
Not in my office, but Biscuit is fine. Biscuit is really enjoying colder weather as he's snuggling a lot more. Him and Cookie are moving closer and closer to Snuggletown, which is phenomenal. Oh, by the way, not to get off Biscuit talk, because Pet Talk, I know, does it, but Free Realms was the game that she produced. It was a freemium MMORPG aimed at kids/tweens.
Well, I guess now we know why the AAA industry wanted to award her.
Yep. So she was a pioneer in microtransactions.
She was fucking Pandora of box fame.
Good.
Toffee's fine too. He sort of slipped down in the inside of my coat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'm not sure if he's fine. He might have died in there.
Uh-oh.
Toffee! How are you?
Toffee.
He's fine.
Oh, great. Great.
James Matchett gives $2 to say, Jack, any board game wrecks for two people?
Ooh, okay. Well, yeah, so the monikers, that's more than two people. I do, by the way, though, as part of my mad grab for board game recommendations. Yeah, hold on. It's right here. All right. It's called... my camera is reversed, by the way. I didn't know that. Oh, well. We'll fix that later. It's called Mystic Veil. This is the... you can't read it, but it's called Mystic Veil. No, okay. It won't work. You can't read it, but it's called Mystic Veil. This is what the cover looks like. And it's great. It's a great two-player game. It's 2 to 4 players. And it is a deck-building game, but it's more than a deck-building game. It's a card-building game. You get sleeves to put cards in, and then they kind of stack on top of each other to make mega cards. So you always have the same number of cards, and you, like, expand each card. And it has, like, a druid-y, nature-y vibe, but, you know, who cares about that? It's really fun, and it's a good time playing. And it's great for two people.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
And who indeed cares about that?
You know, if you're not like a sometimes like the theme of the game is really fun and interesting. Like if you've ever played the game K2, it's about mountain climbing, really fun theming with how you move your characters and reserve your oxygen. But here it's like, hey, you're a druid and you're doing stuff.
Okay.
So anyway,
All right, then. Scavenger gives $2 to say, Jack, tell your kids to stop hunting me.
Because they were scavenger hunting.
Oh.
I will not. I'm training them.
Don't you
them.
Just feel like part of the fun, Scavenger?
I'm training them.
That guy, you know, gave us $5 to say, well, maybe we'd stop being so needy for books if somebody should stop ending their books on cliffhangers. Hey, it's an ongoing series. All my books have self-contained internal stories, and there's a sort of broad overarching thing as well.
A little glimpse at what is coming up next.
Existentially Challenged has like a fun murder mystery in it, and that's fully resolved by the end.
Nice.
It's just, you know, just loose threads to continue the series with, you know, like Darth Vader surviving at the end of A New Hope.
Mm-hmm.
Dalek Sex gives £5 to say, the year later Sony exclusive Spider-Man DLC consists entirely of random documents and audio logs. Merry Christmas. All right, then.
What Spider-Man DLC?
Well, so apparently there's some Spider-Man DLC that came out a year later, exclusive to Sony, that consists entirely of random documents and audio logs. Dalek Sex tells us.
Oh.
But I don't really do DLC, so who cares?
Oh, are you talking about Marvel's Avengers Spider-Man DLC?
Oh, is that...
Well, your problem one is playing Marvel's Avengers.
Yeah, I don't think anything Marvel's Avengers was going to do was going to make me think any worse of it.
Right, because all of the, like, the Spider-Man PS4, their DLC is a little short, but still a whole ton of fun. But that was, you know, a few years ago at this point. Gotcha.
Okay. So B.S. Marsh gives $5 to say, Merry Christmas, gentlemen. Thanks for all the great work this year. You're welcome, B.S. Marsh.
You're welcome.
Arcane Knight gives $5 to say, I got a copy of We'll Save the Galaxy for my mum a while back, but forgot to proofread it. She got one page in and asked me to return it. I enjoyed it, though. Okay.
Was it because one page in you made it was too crude, or because there were grammatical errors? That's my question.
I like to think it, the word. Your mum sounds a bit ungrateful to me, Arcane Knight.
Mm.
I think you should show her place. I think you should give her a smack and say, I shelled out for this wonderful book for you, and you can bloody well like it, bitch.
I do not and condone this.
And then she'll know... Then she'll know where she is. Obi-Wan Dahomey gives $4.99 to say, yesterday was my birthday. I'm ready to count how many Christmas presents are also counted as birthday gifts this year.
The curse of December birthdays, all of your presents are lumped together for the rest of your life, by the way. I'm sorry.
My birthday's in May. Oh. Nicely spaced out.
Of course.
That's probably the only thing kept me going through my school years.
Right? Dang summer birthdays.
Well, spring.
Spring, summer. It's far enough away from major gift-giving holidays where you get more presents than us. Ugh.
Ha ha. Scavenger gives $2 to say, this is worth $2, still hoping for a Haven review. You know, I did try out that game after you recommended it, Haven. Played it for a while, haven't really gone back to it. Maybe it was a bit cute.
Okay.
It was interesting. It's a game where you play like a young couple who are like a colonizing an alien world. And you don't see that very much, you know, characters who are in love with each other and are just a couple from the start and are together the whole game. And that's just their dynamic.
Sure.
I mean, usually if there's like romance in a game, it's because you meet a new character and fall in love over the course of a crazy adventure and then give him a snog at the end. Well, no, this is just a couple. They're already, in a committed relationship, and they explore a planet together being cute.
That's great. I guess.
Andrew Hickenbottom, and they hold hands while they zoom across the planet. It's very nice.
Ooh, adorable.
Andrew Hickenbottom gives £2 to say a couple of quid towards that Lifetime Achievement Award. Thank you very much, Andrew Hickenbottom. Just got to hold on long enough, you know. Hold on long enough till you reach, oh shit, better give him an award before he dies, age.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Rather have the that award than the, you know, the ones we've lost and remembered award.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Canon Does. Gives $5 to say, long time fan of The Escapist, first time dono. Hope you guys and your families have a happy holiday season. Well, I'm sure we all hope that too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And right back at you.
Yeah. To all of you. To everybody watching, if you celebrate, we hope you have a good time.
Yeah. Merry Christmas. Although, there'll probably be an episode next week where we'll probably have to repeat that.
Oh, yeah.
Or I will.
That's fair. That's fair.
That'll be with Marty. But, you know, Marty has to have his chance to say hey, Merry Christmas to everyone as well.
It's true. Very true.
And I guess this is the last one, so no more Super Chats now. James Matt, just as I say that, another one comes in. All right, no more Super Chats after this one. James Matchett gives gives $2 US to say, Jack, any more board game bricks? No, don't encourage him.
I'm currently surrounded by board games, yes.
Okay, fine, you can have one more board game recommendation because someone paid for it.
Only one?
Yeah, choose carefully.
This is a big deal, Yats.
Okay, well, while we're waiting, I'm Henry VIII, I am Henry VIII, I am. I got married to the widow next door. She's been married 7 times before, and everyone was an Henry.
Okay.
You gave everyone Henry VIII blue balls.
All right, I have... Out of all the games around me, I have the game that we go to the most when it's game night, especially with people who are not necessarily board gamers, who are, you know, like you know, because you can talk about like Settlers of Catan, but that takes some kind of strategy and forward thinking, and people who are new to board games don't necessarily want to do that. They just want to, you know, play a game and have a good time. So here it is. It's called Mysterium.
Ooh, like the Spider-Man villain.
Not Mysterio, Mysterium.
Oh, my mistake.
That was your Mysterium. And Mysterium is basically psychic clue. One player is a recently ghosted body, and it's up to everyone else to play psychics who figure out...
Recently ghosted. Well, everyone stopped talking to them on social media.
I meant recently dead and is now a ghost.
Oh, of course. That makes a lot more sense.
I know it's all backwards. I'm sorry. It's called Mysterium. That's what the box looks like. It's available at most major retail locations. One player is a ghost, and you have to give psychic clues to the other players as to a murderer, a location, and a weapon. And it is always... a ton of fun. It's a great introduction into kind of headier board games. Great cards with a lot of little art on them. Has an expansion pack now. Highly, highly recommend if someone you know who plays board games doesn't have it.
Okay. Mitchell Emery gives Mitchell Emery gives £179 to say, has Jack played Vampire the Masquerade tabletop RPG?
No, and I won't.
Okay. Any particular reason?
It gets a little too up its own ass about vampire lore for my personal taste.
Maybe we should do that for the follow-up to Adventurers Nigh. Get out of your comfort zone a bit. Have some fun with it. To commemorate Anne Rice having just died, of course.
R.I.P. Anne Rice.
Do you ever read her erotic books?
No, I have not read. Well, I mean, I read The Vampire Lestat, you know.
Yeah, well, I guess those were her like softcore stuff. But I've read her really porny books, and you know, the woman was quite mad.
That you know, congratulations to her libido. It won in the end.
Yeah.
But no, you know, like, I'm just not super into vampires in the way that people who play Vampire the Masquerade are into vampires. And like, here's the thing, Yats, you're going to get everyone like riled up to have us play Vampire the Masquerade, which means you will have to learn how to play Vampire the Masquerade, which you don't want to do.
All I'm saying is, let's just translate all our current characters into vampires and then spend the whole campaign taking the piss out of it.
Like, there, if I remember correctly, like, there is like a social scale in vampire, like, the things you do in Vampire the Masquerade affect how other vampires view you, and like, there's all this little fud. Well, fud
sounds like Mortimer Raffles with Everwyn Smythe would fit right in.
Son of a bitch.
And I just want to see Dabarilla as a vampire cat just screaming at everyone. Just screaming and trying to make friends with everyone she meets.
Maybe we'll throw together for next Halloween, like a Halloween one-off episode where you're all vampires.
That sounds like fun.
Okay, great.
Okay. James Manchek gives $2 to say Merry Christmas to all and to all a good night, which I think he was hoping would be the last super chat. But then Felix fucking Lang came along and gave £1.79 to say, what's the most average game you've ever played? What a boring question to end on. What a boring fuck you are, Felix Lang. I hate you. I'm going to take your money. I'm going to piss on it. I don't remember. It was too average. If it was the most average game, I would have immediately forgotten about it. That's how it works. That's how I calculate the blandest list. I try to remember what games I've forgotten the most about looking over the list of reviews from the year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And on that note, thanks everybody for coming out and joining us for this Slightly Something Else, where we kind of talked about gift ideas, and then we talked about a whole bunch of other stuff.
I'm just kidding, Felix Lang. We're very grateful for your donation.
It's really true. It's really true. Thank you all for watching and or listening to this. Remember, what is it? This Thursday there will be New Adventure Is Nigh over on YouTube.
Ooh, yes. And a brand new extra punctuation on the site.
Ooh, absolutely.
And on YouTube if you're a YouTube member, which of course you are. I mean, why wouldn't you be?
You should definitely be a YouTube member because, you know, the player on the site is sometimes a little janky. So be a YouTube member. It's very helpful.
Yeah. Your name is green on the stream, so we can immediately see.
Ooh.
James Matchett, for example, who gave us the good super chat, he's a member. Good for him. You know who isn't a member?
Who?
Felix Lang.
Felix, you're not a member.
Yeah. Yeah. So not only is he not a member, he comes in at the end of our streams to shit him up with really crap questions.
Felix, you could have used that £179 towards your YouTube membership.
Yeah.
Yeah. Think about
that.
You
feel stupid now.
So yes, and I don't know if I'll be on another Slightly Something Else before Christmas because I don't know how calendars work. And so happy Christmas to everyone.
No, you will not.
Oh, okay. Well,
next time you'd be due for one would be on the 28th.
Ah.
So that would be a post-Christmas.
Well, then we can talk about how full and sick we are of presents.
Yeah. Talk about all the stuff we got.
Ooh, fun. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Harlack.
And I'm at Yahtzee Croshaw. Tune in tomorrow for Zero Punctuation, of course. Can't forget about that.
Absolutely.
And the post-CP stream. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, Zero Punctuation is, and you might have predicted this if you were listening to the earlier parts of this conversation, it's Shin Megami Tensei 5.
Ooh. Are you going to get angry emails?
A lot of people have been nagging me to review that because I like Persona so much, and those people are probably going to be very upset.
Classic. Well, until then, bye, everyone.
Bye.